We've been on this journey, or I've been on this journey and been dragging you. I say every week, I've been on a journey and I'm inviting you or dragging you along with me on discerning and looking at the different things that God has given us. And there are many things throughout the scripture that God has given us. We've talked about some of those things. We talked about God gives us a touch. God gives us eternal life. God gives us a testimony. God gives us last week the ability to wage war on the strongholds of our lives so that we can be freed from the strongholds of our lives. And so God is giving, he's putting something into the possession of another for his or her use. And that's what he's doing. He's giving you that. He's giving you those things into your possession for your use. So as I discern and look through the scriptures, I'm just amazed at the different things that God has given us. And today I think God has given us the ability to remember. He's giving us a memory to remember, to recall something to mind, or to become aware of something that we have forgotten. He's given you a memory to remember something. The human brain is phenomenal. The human brain's capacity is phenomenal. It's vast. And God has given us that. I was reading this past week. It says, to put that in perspective, according to the Computer World magazine, Yahoo, the internet giant, has created a specially built 2.0 petabyte data warehouse. Yahoo uses the immense information storage capacity of this data warehouse to analyze the behavior of its 500 million monthly visitors. It is not only the world's single largest database, but it's the busiest as well. Yet, Yahoo's 2.0 petabyte computational center, which can process 24 billion events a day, is a full 20% smaller than the capacity of one human brain. The average adult human brain has the ability equivalent to 2.5 million gigabytes of digital memory. That's the capacity of more than 39,062 smartphones. One human brain has that much capacity. And God says, I'm going to give you the ability to have it in there and then to recall it. Can you imagine the storage? I need to rent out my cupboard to my shop sometimes. You think about the organization that goes on inside of your brain almost instantly. And God says, not only am I going to give you the ability to remember that, I'm going to give you the ability to recall that, to go to the right file, to pick it out and reread something that I've done in your life. We have a long-term memory. We have a short-term memory. We have a systematic part of our memory. The systematic, push the button, please. The systematic part of our memory is the common knowledge, the name of colors. Aren't you glad you don't have to learn that every single time? That you can know that yellow is yellow. Or Cheryl, I was saying, look through the window at the yellow flower this morning. She said, how many A's do you have in that? I'm going to look through the window at the yellow flower. I know that's redneck right to the hardcore of it. That's what that is. But I don't have to. I know what yellow is because I have a systematic memory. God's given me that. The episodic memory of the everyday events, the who, what, when, and where, and why. The procedural memory of the motor skills, the riding the bike and feeding yourself. Aren't you glad you don't have to relearn how to feed yourself every single time you go to the restaurant? Because you learn how to get your fork lined up on this little spot in the front of your face. And you're not any longer sticking it in your ears or rubbing it onto your forehead. But then there's an emotional memory, the memory of experience that stir up an emotional response. And I'm digging into that more just as I walk through life, that emotion, that memory that gets attached to an emotion. And how much impact that creates. God has given us the ability to remember. And I think far too often the enemy likes to tap into that and put stuff in your file and bring that up at the most inopportune times. But God says, I've given you the ability to remember because it's necessary for you to remember. I don't want you to learn it all new every single day. Remember what I've done. Remember, pull it out of the file. And I think that, I don't know if Jesus wants to tap into this, the procedural part of our memory. Well, I know then how to spell Jesus. Okay. I know how to sit in my chair in the service. Okay. But is that what he really wants to tap into? Okay, I know some of your parents are like, man, I wish my kid could just learn how to sit in the chair. They will. Hang in there. They won't if they're not here. They'll learn that. But can you imagine, what part of that memory does Jesus want to tap into when he makes the statement, remember? I'm just going to make an argument. I think it's the emotional response. Maybe we got too much systematic response to remembering who Jesus is. And Jesus, I want to be the emotional response. I want this to be tied to your emotion when I ask you to remember. Look what he says in Luke 22. He says this, Jesus took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to them saying, do this, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. What's he's asking them to pull something out of that 2.5 petabyte storage facility that they got between their ears. He said, I have given you vast capacity. Guys, 12 guys in a room. Guys, I want you to remember. Take a minute. Do this in remembrance of me. I wonder where their minds went. When I say that to you, where does your mind go? Oh yeah, this is communion day. We've done this before. That's procedural memory. I'm not against procedures in the church. But I think we have a lot more procedures than we have emotion. A lot more systematic, perhaps. I don't think Jesus wants to tap into the systematic, the apostolic, or the other parts of our... I think he wants the emotional part. And I think that's what he's asking the guys. And I wonder where they went with that. Can you imagine him walking around with this bread? And he comes to Peter and he breaks the bread and he says, Peter, do this in remembrance of me. I wonder where Peter's mind went. Where does your mind go? Look at this. Push the button, please. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi or Matthew sitting in his tax booth. And follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi got up and left everything and followed Jesus. Just so you know, Matthew's in this room. Levi is in this room where Jesus is saying, do this in remembrance of me. Do you think it went back to that day when Jesus showed up in his life for the very first time? Do you think it went back to the day when Matthew didn't think that he had screwed up too many times? I don't know. Maybe he was thinking, my life's pretty good. Yeah, people don't really like me, but hey, I can buy some friends. Does your mind go back when we celebrate communion, which we're going to do? But we're not just going to have a procedure this morning. So do this in remembrance of me. Do you remember the time when Jesus showed up in your life for the very first time? Even when you're 5, that I got testimony this morning? And you're 6 now, I know. But when did you come to Jesus? When you were 5, weren't you? That's what you told me this morning. So maybe some don't have that long ago to remember. Some of you have to have a better long-term memory. I just wonder where our minds go when he's given us this ability to remember and store all this information. And I wonder if it goes back to the very first time that Jesus showed up in your life. I wonder if they're not. Just let me read a few passages here and just see if their minds went here. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. Man, I'm kind of doing a communion thing here, God. I don't really want to think about those people. Is it okay if I bring that up, that I want you to forgive that person? I don't know where their mind went. Their mind went to the hard teaching of Jesus. I don't know. Where's your mind going? Is it going to the first time Jesus showed up in your life? Is it going to that I heard that in the Bible once? I don't know. See, I have a firm belief that if it's coming up in your memory, God wants you to deal with it. And if it's some sort of distraction, I think God wants you to deal with that. Is this guy ever going to get done? Maybe that's from God. I don't know. I'll hurry. But maybe it's like, remember that guy dissed, or you argued with, that neighbor you can't stand? Remember that guy you work next to that drives you crazy? Remember that guy? Bless him. God, I'm doing communion right now. Will you just leave me alone? You need to bless that guy. I'm telling you right now, you and I have communion here, and we're having this discussion, and I'm giving you the ability to bring this up because I've given you a memory. I've given you a vast story, and I want you to remember that I said, bless that guy that's giving you a hard time. I wonder if Peter thought that. I wonder who thought that. Push the button again. I wonder if a woman was there and had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. And she came up behind him or Jesus and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Who touched me? Jesus said. When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing in on you. They're bumping all you all the time. Jesus, just yes, everybody's touching you. He said, no, there's a big difference in touching me and bumping into me. Because when I am touched, power leaves me. There's a lot of people that bump into Jesus. There's fewer people that touch Jesus. Do you remember the time when you touched Jesus? And he unleashed his power in your life? I wonder if that's where their minds were going. Push the button again. So they, the disciples, set out and went from village to village. Just so you know, these all passages aren't in order. I'm kind of randomly picking stuff through Luke. So they, the disciples, set out and went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. Can you imagine? All of a sudden, John gets this big smile on his face when Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. Remember when he gave you the gift of healing and you went and touched somebody and they were healed? You remember that? Remember when that happened? John, do you remember when you did that? I was with you. I saw that blind guy see again. When he empowered you to carry this grace and this healing to another person, remember that day? See, the problem is, I think that maybe we have more procedural memory, a systematic memory of Jesus, than we do emotional memory of Jesus. And so we remember Jesus, it's all, well, I've got to do this, and I've got to do this, and I can't do this, and I can't do this, and I can't do this. And he said, I want the emotional memory to be sparked. Remember when I empowered you? Remember when I took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish? Remember when you guys thought I was crazy? Remember you thought we should send all these people away? You remember when you didn't think we had enough to feed them? You remember that day? You remember when you were all harum scarum and running wild and I calmed you down? Remember that? Remember when I provided for you? Remember when you drove to work 3 times on an empty tank? Hypothetical. We lived in Lancaster, just so you know. We lived in Lancaster through my college years. The first winter we moved there, there was 100 gallons of fuel oil in our heating oil tank. We heated our house the whole winter and never bought fuel. You remember that day? Remember that year? Remember when God did the miraculous in your life? See, I think that's the kind of stuff God wants us to remember. He's given you the capacity. Let me move on. Once, when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowd say I am?" And they replied, "Oh, some say, I'll take John the Baptist for 100, Alex. Or some people say Elijah," and still others, and one says the prophets from long ago, and they have come back to life. And then Jesus says, "But who, what about you? Who do you say I am?" And Peter speaks up and he says, "You are the Christ of God." You are the Messiah. You are the one who came to make the lame walk, the blind see, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. See, I think that's the kind of stuff he wants us to remember. I'm just going to throw a couple more out here. I know I split it up with the gospel commercial and the preaching time here, so when you add it all together, it'll be good, okay? As they were walking along the road, a man said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes and birds birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." You know what he's saying? Really? No matter what it costs you, will you follow me? Or do you have a line that says, "As long as I don't have to"? Remember the old song, "Please don't send me to Africa? I'll tithe 11%. That's a crazy song, but I don't know any more than that right there. But that, I can't sing it for you, nor would I. But I'm doing everything you want. I will do anything you want, God, except go to Africa. Have you shut God down once in your life? Knowing that God wanted you to do something or go somewhere and you didn't do it? Hang in. He's going to give you another shot at that. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way away, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. This is the story of the prodigal son. Do you remember that time when you were so far away? We heard a couple weeks ago from Nick. And he came back to the father, and the father wrapped his arms around him. You remember how you were so jacked up in life? And God forgave you? Yeah. A couple times. Now, see, the memory's starting to go. I remember, God, you loved me so much. Wow. Even though I was out there, you welcomed me back in. You took me around and held me in your arms. Aren't you glad he didn't give up on you a year before he wrapped his arms around you? Wow. Do this in remembrance of me. I've given you 2.5 petabytes of information. Let me tap into that as we go through, he says. Let me bring those things to memory. Remember the time he went up to Zacchaeus and he went up to the guy in the tree? You were just walking along and he went up to the guy in the tree and he stopped at the bottom of the tree. John, do you remember that? Matthew, Bartholomew, do you remember that day? I remember. And he went over to the bottom of the tree and he knew the guy's name. He said, Zacchaeus! I mean, we just, well, sure he did. Well, you were one of the 12 there, and all of a sudden you stop at a random guy on the street and say, hey, Bill. What? I'm going to your house today. You need to come down out of that tree because you need to be there with me. I'm not going alone, but do you remember the times when God did the things that just make you scratch your head? I don't know how many more I have on here. This may be the last one. Show me a denarius. Whose portrait and inscriptions are on it? Caesar, they replied. And he said, then give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. Remember the day he said that? You know what that means? Whose image is on the coin? Oh, it's Caesar's. He can have what has his image on it. But you carry my image. I want what bears my image. Amen. I want you. So give to the world what is the world's. What a great message in the middle of tax season. Who cares? Who cares? That's what Jesus. Do you know who image you bear? New lifers, just let me, I don't know where the slides are, but we're going to end with this. You bear his image. And Jesus just said, give me what bears my image. So I'm going to ask the guys, if I can have Tobin on this step, and Jeff, can you come into this step? And then some of the guys I text, if you can move in. And on the night he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. We're going to celebrate communion, but we're going to do this in remembrance of me. So if I can just have you, as the guys pass they're going to pass the bread first. And as they pass the bread, can you just let your 2.5 petabytes filter back through? And start remembering some of the things that Jesus has done in your life. So if you can, I'm sure there's going to be some music, which is awesome. The goal is not just to take bread in the cup, but to remember what he's done.
Here, working in this place, I
Father, I know that my mind goes to the way. I know the song has led me there, and you've used that, the way that you've navigated me through life, the way that you've reached into my life, the way you answered my family's prayers, the way you worked in my heart, the way that you've given me victory in college, the way that you provided, the way that the vehicles were there for us. Very practical things that you've done in our life. You've done some monumental spiritual work in my life. And I remember those moments, and I remember the very practical things. Lord, I want to be able to use our 2.5 petabyte ability to do more remembering about you and who you are and what you've done in our life. And Jesus, one of those things is that you went to the cross, and I want to remember that in these moments that your body was broken and your blood was shed for us. And there's life in the blood. And I stand under the blood of Jesus is why I am righteous before the Father. So thank you, Jesus, for allowing your body to be broken. I thank you in Jesus' name. Let's partake together. Jesus, I know that on the cross, You proclaimed the words, "It is finished." And I know that it's recorded that at the same moment, the temple curtain that separated man from the Holy of Holies, from the presence of God, was torn from the top to the bottom. What a picture that, God, you had opened up the Holy of Holies to anyone through Christ. So, Jesus, thank you once again that I am holy because you are holy. I am righteous because you are righteous. You have poured your blood over me, over us. And because of that blood, I have life. I have been given life through the blood of Jesus. It's nothing that I have done. It's not from my works. It's only through the blood of Christ. So Jesus, thank you on that night when you could have been running harem scarum because you were about ready to be betrayed and arrested. But on that night, you took the disciples to the upper room and you shared something with them, saying, "Guys, you're going to need to remember what I've done in your life. So do this in remembrance of me." Jesus, thank you. And it's in the name of Jesus that we drink the cup together. Let's drink together. New life. Stand with me. You can collect the cups, or there's a dispenser and a garbage can in the entrance. You know what? Maybe you want to keep it and leave it on your table for a while. Don't be too quick to throw it away. Maybe you want to set it on your counter for the week. And just remember, let it jar that some of that 2.5 petabytes of information in your brain. I'm going to challenge you to keep it. Take it home with you. And I wonder the next time that we celebrate communion, what will be in your memory that's not there today?